Today's Shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav He Chesam Beis at the end of the fifth wide line. It says the Gemara. The Gemara quotes what we learned in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said Masha ben Shmuel Omar, that there was a dialogue between the person who was looking to see if the sun came up and the other people. So the Gemara in the Havamin assumes that the person who was looking up at the sky to see if it got light already was the one that's a hair kamnei kolar mizrach. Just like according to the Tanakama, he said bar koi. And so according to Mashi ben Shmuel, he said hair kamnei mizrach at shebechevrin. So the Mishnah asks, the Gemara asks, the Mishnah said the word hain, that somebody said yes. So who was the one that said yes? Eli Mahach the Kaya Igra. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that it was the one that was standing on the roof that made that comment. So ask the Gemara. The Gemara uses a saying, Hu Cholim Vuhu Mefasher, is the same person who dreams the person who interprets the dream. He asked the question and he also gives the answer, says the Gemara. Ela must be that who's the one that says Hain, the Koyara, the person that didn't climb up. Ask the Gemara if it's that individual, Menayada, how would he know if the sun came up or not, if he's not on top of the wall seeing what's going on? Says the Gemara, Ibai Seima, Hach the Koyara, we can interpret the Mishnah and understand that it was the person who was on the floor saying Hain. And we can interpret the Mishnah with understanding that it was the person who was standing on the wall that says Hain. The way to understand the dialogue, explains Gemara, Ihu, the person that was standing on the roof said to the person who was standing on the ground, Heya, play kol ha-mizrach. He made a statement that the entire east side is now lit up. And then the person who was on the ground asked him, Atsheb Chevron, is it light all the way till Chevron? Vamli Ihu, to which he responded, Hain. Bibai Seima, another way of understanding the Mishnah, is Hach the Kaya Ara. It's referring to the person who's standing on the ground. Ame Ihu, the one who was standing on the roof, made a statement saying, Hey Pnei Ka Mizrach. Vamli, and the one on the ground said to the one on the roof, Hey, Kol Mizrach, did the sun go up on the east side? Vamalei, and the one on the roof said, Yes, Atshab Chevron, it's light all the way till Chevron. Vamalei, and then the person on the ground said, Cain, that was my question. I want to know if it's light till Chevron. So we're able to interpret the Mishnah according to both Pshatim. Continues the Gemara. What one was so necessary to make sure that it was sunny, that it was light in the morning, says the Gemara, because one time they made the mistake where they thought it was already day and it turned out that it was still night. Ask the Gemara, would somebody get confused between the sunlight and the moonlight? For Tanya, doesn't the Brisa teach us? Rabbi Oimer, Eina Doimer Timur Shalavana, the rays of the moon are not similar to the Timur Shalchama, to the rays of the sun. Because Timur Shalavana, the rays of the moon, Metamav Oila Kamakal, they go straight and they don't disperse to the sides. But Timur Shalchama, whereas the sun rays are Mavtsi Lakan Lakan, go in both directions. So how is it possible that they should make such a mistake? Tanya Rishmo, to which the Gemara answers, we learned in the Brisa Rishmo, that day, Yom HaMunam Haya, it was a cloudy day, and because it was cloudy, they could not clearly see the rays of the moon, Maftziah, and therefore even the rays of the moon, Lekan Lekan, went in all different directions. Amra Papa, says Rav Papa, from here we see that when it's cloudy, it's different. Yoyma de'iva, when you have a cloudy day, kula shimsha, the sun goes all over. And when, because you have clouds blocking the sun, wherever there are cracks in the sun, the sun shines through very clearly. Ask the Gemara L'may Nafkamina, why do we need to know this? Answers the Gemara L'shtuchi Oris, that even on a cloudy day, you could put out leather, pieces of leather to dry, and it will dry. Even though there's no clear sunlight in such a day, it does not prevent the sun going through the cracks of the clouds and shining on the leather. Inami l'chadavish Rava, it's Rava tortoise. Ishloi talish, when you're preparing a dough, when a woman is preparing a dough for matzahs on Pesach, loy b'chama, she shouldn't knead the dough facing the sun, because that could cause that the dough should rise. Loy b'chama chama, not with water that was heated in the sun. And when we're learning that it shouldn't be done in the facing the sun, then we can't do it even on a cloudy day, because as we just learned, even on a cloudy day, the sun will go through the cracks. Amar Rav Nachman, Zuma has the Shimsha. The heat that comes out of the sun on a cloudy day, Kashi Mishimsha, is hotter than when you sit in the direct sunlight. The Simonach, and the way the simon that happens is Dona Dechala, when you have a barrel of vinegar. And when you have a barrel of vinegar and you seal it, and then you make a small opening, the odor that comes out from that crack is very concentrated and very strong. Here too, since the sun is essentially blocked, and it only comes through the cracks, when it comes through the cracks, it's very strong. It comes through the crack. Another pshat that I saw that the Tosfos Rid explains that what happens is because the clouds get heated up from the sun, and once the clouds get heated up from the sun, those clouds are very hot and bring a lot of heat to the world. Shivriri Hashemesh, the rays of the sun that come through the cracks, Kashim Shimsha, are even more difficult to look at than looking at the sun. The Simana Dilfa, when something is dripping, it's more painful than when water falls on the entire body. And here too, when the sun is coming in these cracks, it's more difficult than when it's coming through, when it's just coming all over. So along the same lines, says the Gemara, Hirhure Avera, somebody who has a Hira Avera, who thinks about doing an Avera, is Kashima Avera. It's worse than doing the Avera itself. The Simanach, and the way the Simon for that is Reich Basar. Sometimes when you smell the odor of the meat, it's more powerful than the odor than eating the meat itself. So there are many pshatim offered when the Gemara says here Hurhure Avera, Kashmir Avera. The Karakamach explains that it's harder to do tshuva from Hurhure Avera than from the Avera. The Rambam explains in the Maor Nevuchim that what makes the person most unique is his mind. So when a person does an Avera, he's acting with his body. Not only do people have bodies, animals have bodies as well. But when a person has a machshava, so what Hashem has gifted us with giving us a machshava and giving us a mind, using that for Hirurei Avera is even worse than using a body. Another pshat that I saw the Mefarshim explain, that the Gemara Masechta Soita, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, teaches us, Ein Adam Oiva Avera, El Mekein Nechnes Bar Ruach Shtos. What does that mean? It doesn't mean Nechnes Bar Ruach Shtos. It's when a person lets his mind fall away, when he's not on guard, that means that he opened up his mind to a Ruach Shtos. And that's what's represented with Hirhure Avera. And in fact, I saw that the Shlah explains that we know that the Karban Oila is brought if somebody, Rachman Slan, had Hirhure Avera. And from all the Kaponis that we bring, says the Shlo, the only carbon that which has to be completely burnt on the Mizbeach is the carbon oila. All other carbonis are not completely burnt on the Mizbeach, representing the Ruhuri Aveira, because somebody who had a Hir Aveira is the biggest Baal Aveira. And therefore, since he's the biggest Baal Aveira, his carbon, in order to affect the carbon, has to be completely burnt. The Chidah explains that the Gemara says that Shloish, Gemara Masechta Nida, Shloish is Shutfim Ba'adam. Every person is created from three partners. Avav, V'imoy, V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his father and his mother and Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one that gives him the neshama, the ability to speak, the ability to understand. So when a person does an Aveira with one of his limbs, he's doing an Aveira in what the parents contributed. But when he does an Aveira with his machshava, he's doing an Aveira in the part that HaKadosh Baruch Hu contributed. And therefore, it's much worse. The Yaris Tavash has a different explanation. The Yaris Tavash explains, he says that the halacha is that the Torah is stricter with a ganef than with a gazlan. And why? Because a ganef is a person who steals surreptitiously. A gazlan steals in the open. So explains the chidah. So explains the Ye'aris Tavash. If somebody does an aveira publicly, of course it's a terrible thing. But it's not like he's showing that he doesn't believe there's a Hashem watching. When somebody does an aveira privately, Hirur aveira, nobody sees that aveira, that's much more serious, because it looks like you think that Hashem doesn't watch and doesn't know what's in your head. And in fact, the Divrei Shaul, Rav Yosef Shaul Natanzon, the Lemberg Rav, the Shaul Lameshiv, says that this is an explanation in a Gemara that we learned in the previous Perek. In the previous Perek, we learned that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was stricter with Shaul than he was with David HaMelech. And the question is, why? So Rav Yosef, so the Divrei Shaul explains, because if we analyze the Aveiras that Shaul did versus the Aveiras that David did Aveiras publicly, as we learned the story that he sent Uriah to the front, the story that he counted Klal Yisrael when he wasn't supposed to count Klal Yisrael, those were public Aveiras. But when we spoke about the Aveira on Daf Chabez that Shaul committed, it was a private Aveira. He didn't understand, he didn't accept what a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, the way he should wipe out all of Amalek. So that was an Aveira and a Machshava. And Al Gemara is teaching us that here Hura Aveira are Kashim Mi Aveira. And as we said, the Shlo goes on to explain, because somebody who does an Aveira with his mind is in a way contaminating the most important part of his body that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. And because of that, the Gemara says, Hira Aveira Kashim Aveira. The Yismach Yisrael has a different approach. He says, when somebody does an Aveira, so there's a beginning and a middle and an end to what he did. However, when somebody has a machshava, then the machshava is even has no limit to what he had in mind. It has no limit, and therefore the aveira is much more significant. Another pshat that I saw that the mefarshim suggest that hiruri aveira are difficult to do tshuva on. Because when a person does an aveira, he recognizes he did something wrong, and he knows that he has to do tshuva for what he did. Whereas when somebody has only a hiruri aveira, he thinks, he doesn't recognize, he doesn't remember the extent of his aveira. And because of that, the aveira, he doesn't do tshuva. And of course, an aveira that's left without tshuva is a serious aveira. Furthermore, he said, Shaloi de Kaita, the end of the summer, the heat at the end of the summer, Kashmi Kaita, is hotter than the whole summer. The Simanach, and the way to understand that is Tanuch de Shigra. If somebody heats the oven, the more he heats it, then it gets hotter. So Rashi explains, what the Gemara means to say is that if somebody learned and he forgot what he learned, it's harder to remember what he learned and forgot versus something that he never learned at all. Because the Sfas Emes says that it's harder to review your learning. Reviewing learning is always something that people find difficult. And because people find reviewing difficult, it's harder to review something that you forgot. And that's why somebody has to constantly try to remember what he always learned. Says the Gemara, Ishta b'tisiva, the heat in the winter, kashim dekaita. When somebody gets a fever in the winter, it's worse than getting a fever in the summer. The simanach tanura karira, that if you have a cold oven that was never heated, it's much more difficult to heat it up than an oven that was once hot already. And in the winter, when the person is cold and then he's hit chas v'shalom with a fever, it's much more dangerous. Migber betika, forget learning something that you forgot, as we just said, is kash mecharta, is harder than something you never learned. V'simanach tina batina. That means if somebody wants to make cement that was out of cement, that was once cement, that was once already cement, it's harder than making new cement. And as we explained, a person always wants to hear and learn something new. Chazal teach us, v'mhoya shemaya tishma, in tishma b'yosha and tishma b'chadosh. Chazal recognized that it's harder to remember what you learned, but Chazal charged us to learn that. And the Michtav Eliyahu explains, why is this human nature? So Michtav Eliyahu explains, when somebody begins to learn something new that he never learned before, he knows that he never learned this, and he now has to apply himself to try to understand and learn this subject that he's trying to learn now. Whereas somebody who learned something already, even though he forgot it and he really doesn't know it, his mind plays a trick with him, and his mind makes him think that you know this already, and therefore he doesn't apply himself to the learning properly, and he never really understands it again the way he's supposed to. Says the Gemara, we began this piece of Gemara speaking about the sun rays. Amar Avu, my time of the Rebbe, why did he say that the sun rays spread out, disperse? Diksiv lamnatzeach alayelas hashachar mizmel David. So the pasuk compares the ayelas hashachar. Says the Gemara, what is the ayelas hashachar? Says the Gemara, my ayelas zu, when we look at this ayel, karnoel mavtzilas lekan lekan, its horns jut out in all directions. Af shachazu, so too when we speak about the sunlight, mafzia lekan ulkan, that goes in all directions. And the Ben Yoyada says that this Gemara has very significant ramifications, la locha lemaisa, to something we discussed in the beginning when we began this perek. When we began this perek, we had a discussion, when does the day really begin? Does the day begin at Alois HaShachar, or does the day begin by Netzach Hamah? And we said that, and in certain halachas it begins by Alois HaShachar, in certain halachas it begins by the Nates. So he says that's how we look at the sun rays in the morning. On one hand, the time of the Alois HaShachar sometimes is considered already day. And sometimes when we look at the Alois HaShachar, it's considered still by night. So the sun rays sometimes are treated this way and sometimes are treated that way. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Lama Nimshla Esther Layola. The Gemara says that this was the perek of Tehillim that Esther said as she came to meet Achashverosh. Loimelach, the teacher's Ma Ayola, when we speak about the female ayol, Rachmatzar, its womb is very narrow. The Chaviv al Baal kol shav v'shav kishar rishoyna, the husband enjoys relations with her. Af Esther ha'isa Chaviv al Achashverosh kol shav v'shav kishar rishoyna. And the Chasam Sofer says that what this means, it speaks about the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has a very close relationship. And he takes it a step further. He says that the Gemara says when the Ayala is about to have a baby and has this very narrow womb, a snake comes and makes it expands the womb. Says the Chasam Sofer, That's how we ought to understand the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. And particularly, that's why we understand the story of Purim. What happened in the story of Purim was that Klal Yisrael were not acting in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to act. And he brought Achashverosh, and he brought Haman, and Haman was like the snake that bit us. And by biting us, it caused us to become closer to Hashem. Here too, by these different things that happened to Klal Yisrael, it caused Klal Yisrael to get closer to Hashem, to do tshuva in the time of Esther. Amar Rashi, Lamla Nimshala Esther L'Shachar. Why is the story that happened with Esther compared to daybreak? Lamla Ma Shachar B'Soif Kol Alayla. The morning, the Alois Shachar, as we just said, represents the end of the night. F Esther Soif Kol Nisim. So too, Esther is the end of all the Nisim. Ask the Gemara, V'ikha Chanukah. But what, don't we have the Nis of Chanukah, which happened after the Nis of Purim? Answers the Gemara, Shenitul Kasev Kamrinan. Nis Esther was the last Nis that was written in Megillah. Other Nisim, of course, happened, but they're not in the Megillah. Ask the Gemara, Ha'nich L'mad Amar, Esther Nitana L'Kasev. There's a Machloikis in the Gemara Masechta Megillah, Dav Zayin Amin Aleph, where the Gemara says, Sholcham Esther L'Chachamim. Esther sent a message to the Chachamim, Kesvuni L'Doiris. Let the Nais that happened in the time of Purim be written, and it should be commemorated, written forever. And the Gemara brings a Raya. That man, Esther, brought a Raya, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, K'soiv Zoyz Zikaron B'Sefer, V'Sim Ba'ozna Yeshua, K'imocha Emcha Zeich HaMolek. K'soiv Zoyz means that we should write the first time we had Mechias HaMolek. Zikaron is the second time, and Sefer is the third time. And the Machloikis, what does that mean? Rav Elazar HaMidoi explained, K'soiv Zoyz refers to what is mentioned in Parshas B'Shalach, and what is mentioned in Parshas Kisetze. Zicharon is what's mentioned in Shmuel, the Machloikis of the war of Shaul and Amalek. But Sefer refers to Megillas Esther. So we see from that the Torah already alluded that Sefer Esther should be written. However, Yeshua disagrees, and he says K'soiv Zoyz is referring to Parshas B'Shalach, Zikaron is Parshas B'Kisetze, and B'Sefer, Sefer Shmuel, and there is no remez, there is no hint that we should write down Esther. Megillah's Esther should not be written. And the Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that one of the Yod Ches Tover, the 18 Zeiris that we learn about in Masechta Shabbos from the Yud Gimel and Beis, was that the Sefer are, if a Sefer touched Truma, the Truma becomes Tamei. That we learned that the person who touches the Truma becomes Tamei. And there's a discussion, what is the status of Megillas Esther? Is it like Sifrei Kodesh or not? So according to the Manda Omer, that Esther was, the Megillas Esther, we take the approach of Elazar Midoi, that says Esther Nitana L'Kasev. So that's why we understand why the Gemara said that Esther was Soif Kol HaNisim. But ask the Gemara, Elamanda Amma, Esther L'Nitana L'Kasev. So what was meant when Rav Asi said, Mayik L'Memba, what was meant when it said Esther Soif Kol HaNisim? Answers the Gemara, Maikam La, he's going to have to explain that Pasuk of Ayala Sashachar otherwise. He's going to have to explain it. Rabbi Yamin by Yefes Amar Rebelaza. Dam Rabbi Yamin Yefes Amar Rebelaza. Laman Nimshla Tfilas and Shatadikim Kayelas. Why is our Tfila, which we daven by Shachar, by Elois HaShachar, compared to Ayelas? Laman Loch Ma Ayelas Kozman Shem Magdalas Kornem of Tzilas. As the animal grows, its horns keep on growing and spreading. Av Tzadikim Kozman Shem Arben Tfila. As long as they continue davening, Tfilas and Nishmas. And the Meiri explains that the lesson of this Gemara is that people sometimes daven and they don't think that their tefillahs are answered. Teaches us the Gemara, every tefillah is answered. I saw that the Satmar Rebbe explains, according to the Mandama, that Esther was nitana l'kasev. Esther, Megillas Esther, was supposed to be committed to writing, but the Nes of Chanukah was not committed to writing. Why is that? He said that the whole Nes of Chanukah is about Torah Shebapeh. Chazal made a gzeira that whatever is touched by a Nochri becomes tamei because nachrim are treated like zavim. So that's why the oil became tamei. And since the oil became tamei by the Nes of Chanukah, we needed the Nes of Chanukah to happen to keep, to make, to, that we should have oil that's tar to light in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, since the entire Nes of Chanukah is built around Torah Shebaaleh, it doesn't make sense, said the Satmar Rebbe, that the Nes of Chanukah, it doesn't make sense that the Nes of Chanukah should be Nitana L'Kasev, that should be Torah Shebaaleh. The whole basis of the Nes of Chanukah was Torah Shebaaleh. So the Ksav Sofer has a different explanation. He says, we know that the Nes of Chanukah really had two parts to it. One part was, as we just said, the Nes that happened with the oil and the menorah. And the other part was that we were saved from the Yevanim who wanted us to give up our religion, give up our heritage. If we would have written down the Nes, said the Ksav Sofer, so what would we have written down? We would have written down the incredible miracle that they had only the small pitcher of oil and it was saved. That wasn't Tamei. But the lesson that of the neshamas of Klal Yisrael, the lesson that we were able to fend off the theology of the Yevanim would have never been written. And that's the most important part that we need to have. The most important part we're supposed to have is the Nes that is the Nes of the Yeshuas of the neshamas. The Chesh of Sofer has a different approach. His approach is that when we think about the Nes of Chanukah versus the Nes of Purim, the Nes of Purim was a Nes b'teva. We don't see open miracles. It was all open miracles, but it's not obvious. They weren't obvious open miracles. The Nes of Purim is teva. To show that what we think is everyday occurrence was really all Nisim, and that even though it doesn't look like Nisim, the Shem Hashem we know doesn't appear in the Megillah, is something Nitana L'Kasev. We need to write and learn and remember forever that even what doesn't seem to be like Nisim is really all Nisim. But what happened by Chanukah, which was, as we've just been describing, such an obvious Nes, where the picture was found and it was enough, you know, it was only enough for one day and it lasted for 8 days, that's not something that we have to write. That's what we all know, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is constantly doing Nisim for us. And therefore, Esther is Nitani L'Kasev, but not Chanukah. We learned in the Mishnah that they took the Kohen Gadol to the mikveh, and there was a story once they got confused when they thought it was already day and it was night. And then the Gemara has taught us, for Shachtu as a Tamid. So the Gemara is assuming that the first part of the Mishnah and the second part of the Mishnah is all a continuation. And that they brought the Kohen Gadol down to the mikveh and brought the Kohen Tamid once too early. Asked the Gemara Amos, exactly when this story that is quoted in the Mishnah happened? Elam b'shayim ma'aseshana, that we're not speaking about Yom Kippur. Asked the Gemara, Lef Sagi de Lef Kohen Gadol. The rest of the year, we don't have to have a Kohen Gadol doing the Avodah. Only Yom Kippur has to be done, the Avodah has to be done. And as the Ritva explains the Mishnah, even though it is possible that the Avodah during the year of the Karmel Talmud is done by the Kohen Gadol. As we've learned previously, the Kohen Gadol could choose to do the Avodah whenever he so desires, but he's not obligated to do the Avodah. But a Mishnah focusing that it was done by the Kohen Gadol, it's clearly an indication that it had to be done by Kohen Gadol. So it must be that it happened in Yom Kippur. But ask the Gemara, in Yom Kippur, at that time of the month, the Mara Alvana Mi'ika, is there any moonlight so close to the day? At the end of the month, you have moonlight still there at Alois Shachar, but not Yom Kippur, which is 10 days in the month. So answers the Gemara that the story happened in a different month. And the Gemara says, V'hochikomer. And what the Tana means to say was on Yom Kippur, after they took the Kohen Gadol to the mikveh, B'Yom Kippurim, when you take the Kohen Gadol to the mikveh, Ki Amar Baruch Barakai, when he says, as soon as the person says, Baruch Barakai, I read the Kohen Gadol by Satfila, they could take him to the mikveh. And what the Gemara means to say is that even though the rest of the year we maybe can make a mistake sometimes, and the moon could be there at the time of Eloisa Shachar, this didn't happen, this story didn't happen on Yom Kippur. And the way the Maraim Sada says that since they made this rule to, they made this rule all year round, they also made it on Yom Kippur. Then he gives another explanation. As we learned previously in our Masechta, we gave the Kohen Gadol an early chance on Yom Kippur, a chance to start the Avodah early on Yom Kippur. That the reason we had to, we did that was because we wanted him, he had a very hard, long day ahead of him, so we wanted to give him an early start. So in order to avoid that he start too early, that's why we had to make this announcement, even though at that time of the month, there's really no great concern that there's going to be confusion between sunlight and moonlight. We have Kippurim Ka'amar Barak Ba'Kairi, Ha'iri the Kohen Gadol Beis HaTefillah. Says the Gemara, Tanei Avuah D'Rav Avuah, Lo'i Zu B'Var Amar, not only is the halacha that if somebody shechted the carbon tamid by night, the carbon becomes disqualified. Ella af malikas ha'oif. The halacha is that when a bird is brought as a carbon, and the halacha, if the malika was done by night, or the kamitza of a mincha, that they also, tisara, if those kaponis, if they were done by light, tisara, if they have to get burned. And the way Rashi explains, that even though they're not considered kaponis chshuvim, they're not carbon tzibur, the halacha is, it doesn't change, because the Torah says regarding shechita b'yom zevchachem, and from here we learn that all avoidus must be done strictly by day, and if they're done by night, they're disqualified. Says the Gemara, bishlam oil sa'if, I understand what we just said regarding the oil sa'if, that if it was killed before daybreak, it can't be fixed. Might have a haver. What happened, happened. It can't be fixed, and it has to be burnt, and we'll have to bring another carbon. But ask the Gemara, what about the kaimitz? Nahadra, what is the avoid of the kaimitz? The avoid of the kaimitz is that the kaim takes a kaimitz, he takes a fistful out of the klisharis in which you have all the ingredients, and that's the part that's burnt on the Mizbeach. So ask the Gemara, if the Kohen took it out too early, why don't we just take it, we put it back into that klisharis, and then once the day begins, for nahadra, for nikmetz b'yamama, take it again by day. Answers the Gemara, hu tana lava hu amala, he said this halacha and he explained halacha, klisharis mekachna filo zvana. Once they did the kmitza, they put the kmitza into klisharis. And once the kmitza was put into klisharis, even though it was done at night, when it's not a time for kmitza, by putting the kmitza into klisharis, it makes the kmitza into the kaimitz, and what's left in the kli from which they took the kmitza is now shrayim. And now you can't reverse that and say that the shrayim and the kmitza should be reversed. The kmitza is not a good kmitza. The shrayim are not a good shrayim. Ask the Gemara, is that true? May say, ask the Gemara, the Brisa says, Zeklal, kol karbiyim, any carbon who the carbon should be done by day is kachabiyim. As soon as you make it kadosh by putting into klisharis, if you did it by day, it gets the level of kedusha. Kol karbalayla, any carbon that could be brought at night, the halacha is that michas nasachim that come along with the kabonis can be brought at night. So the halacha is kol karbalayla, any carbon that's brought by night, kadosh or by day, kol karbalayla, kadosh bein b'yoyim bein b'layla. But what do we see from the ektonimius? Kol karbalayla, if a carbon's time to be brought is only by day, Kaddish b'yoyim, and only gets the kedusha by day. B'yoyim in b'layla loy. So what are we saying that once you did the kmitza and you put the kaimitz into the klisharis, it gets the halacha of a kaimitz, and the part that's put into the and the part that's left in the klisharis get the name of shrayim. Since we just learned that these are kabonis that cannot be brought by night, whatever you did by day is meaningless. Answers the Gemara, Dilma. What was meant? What this brisa meant to teach us was ain't a kaddish likarev. It doesn't get the kedusha that you could use it for a carbon, but the kedusha that it becomes posel that it obtains, and therefore once we put it into the keli, it's too late. The Torah says that every week we have to put in the lechem aponim. The way the lechem aponim was done, that on every Shabbos they took out the lechem upon him that was put in the previous Shabbos. And then on Shabbos, they put in new lechem upon him, two rows in the shulchan of six chalas each. And on the top, they put two spoons of levoina. And after they burnt the levoina, they are allowed to eat the lechem upon him of last week. So ask the Gemara, Moser of Zera, the Brisa teaches us, see this lechem as a bezichin achas Shabbos. So as we just learned, the time to put in the lechem and the bezichin, the new lechem and bezichin is on Shabbos. And this person didn't do it on Shabbos. It was done v'hikta achas Shabbos. It was done on Sunday. V'hikta is a bezichin Shabbos. And then next Shabbos, you take out that lechem that wasn't put in on Shabbos, that was only put on Sunday, psula. It's not possible. It's possible. Why is it possible? Because the lechem wasn't in the shulchan the right amount of time. The lechem is supposed to be in the shulchan for a full week. And here, it was only there from Sunday through Shabbos. Ketzed yasa. So what should you do? Yanichena l'Shabbos haba. Leave that lechem not till the Shabbos after the Sunday it was put in, but leave it there for the next week, which means 13 days. Because, says the Braisa, Shafila Omdal Shulchan Yom Rabin, even though the Lechem is in the Shulchan many more days than it normally is, as we said, normally the Lechem is there from Shabbos to Shabbos, and here it's going to be from Sunday, not to the Shabbos afterwards, but to Shabbos after that Shabbos, Eimekach Klum, it doesn't bother us. But ask the Gemara, but why is that fine? Tigdish Vitipasel, the Lechem was put into the Shulchan at the wrong time, because Sunday is not the time. And the halacha is, we just said, that if something was put into the klisharis at the wrong time, it becomes kadosh and disqualified. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, man the kamosev, the one that asked the question, shabba kamosev, asking a fair question. The avuder of oven that said that this is legitimate, masnisa kamar. He was quoting a braisa. So now the question is, how do we reconcile that if you put the lechem in the wrong time, it's still going to be an acceptable avoda? Ksavar, he holds Laila Emechus's man. By putting something in the wrong time, it doesn't make it possible. Yoim Mechus's man. But putting it by day, you could have the concept of Mechus's man. In other words, that Gemara is saying is, something that's supposed to be done by night, and you did it by day, and you did it by night, doesn't make it disqualified. And therefore, if you put a Karban Mincha, the Shrayim, the Kaimitz, in a Klisharis at night, even though you shouldn't be doing it at night, it shouldn't be done till tomorrow, it doesn't make that, since the night is a prelude to the next day, it's considered that you put it in the proper time. But something that should not be done till the next day, there it's Mechusas Man. So here, when we put the Mincha that we spoke about before in by night, and we did the Kaimitz by night, that is considered you did something wrong. However, when you put it in, when you put the Lechem upon him into the Shulchan on Sunday, that's not at all a time when it's supposed to be put in, and therefore you don't have that disqualification. Ask the Gemara, fine. So by putting it on Sunday, as we just explained, it's totally meaningless because Sunday is not the time for the lechem. It doesn't make a difference the night of Sunday or the morning of Sunday. Ask the Gemara, but kimati be shimshu, when Friday evening comes, and as we said, Shabbos is the time to put in the lechem, the lechem, the tepasel, the time to put in the lechem is on Shabbos. When the first Shabbos after that Sunday comes, and the lechem is already there Friday night, which is not the time that it should be there, because as we said a few moments ago, the time that the lechem should be put in is Shabbos morning, it should become disqualified. Amar Avina, shekan v'salkei. Exactly, the way to explain means that if it was put on Sunday, you have to make sure to take it out Friday, late afternoon, before Friday evening, and only put it back in Shabbos by day. Mazutri tamer of Asher, amar filo shekloi kad v'salkei. We could explain that it wasn't necessary to take out Friday evening to make sure it's not there Friday night. Says the Gemara, Kimin Shesidrei Shloimim Mitzvasei, when it was put in on Sunday, Nasa Kamo Shesidrei Kaif. That is such a meaningless act that since it's such a meaningless act, what happens from Sunday till Shabbos morning is totally meaningless and doesn't bother us in halacha. But according to that, since everything that happened from Sunday through Shabbos was meaningless, what will have to happen is that on Shabbos morning, the first Shabbos after the Sunday, explained the Rishonim, you're going to have to take the lechem that was there from Sunday till now out, put it in now, and where we said that placing of the lechem for that whole almost whole week is, like Gemara just said, is Kamosha Sidru Kaif. It was like done by a monkey. It has very little meaning in halacha. But then, Shabbos morning, the kohen should take it out of the shulchan and put it back in properly and then leave it there for the whole week till the next Shabbos, and you'll have lechem aponim for the next Shabbos, that the avoidu with that lechem aponim was done perfectly as the halacha wants us to do.